Thank you for joining us for our Tuesday night Bible study. We know you'll be blessed by the Word as you open it up and dig deep inside. Remember that these podcasts are brought to you by our faithful partners. If you would like to become a partner for $25 a month or more to continue our outreach around the world and in our local community, go to freshfirechurch.net. And now, let's join the teaching.
There is absolutely power in the blood. And sometimes as believers, we tend to forget things. We tend to forget how powerful God really is. Tonight we're going to get into some of that, because I believe a God that is not all-powerful is not a God to be worshipped. If God could not create the heavens and the earth and everything from the beginning, before we know of time, then he really doesn't deserve my worship. If there's a God that is not all-knowing, he doesn't deserve my worship. You see, so we forget about sometimes really who it is that we sing about when we sing about power in the blood. We forget about who it is that we sing about when we sing about victory in Jesus. Because I'm telling you, friends, if God is not who he says he is, then we're wasting our time. And I'm sure all of us have something better that we would rather do than to waste time serving a God who isn't who he says he is. But yet, yes, he is, and thank God he is. Before time, before creation, before anything, he was God. At this present moment, he is God. And he will always be, forever in the future, will still be God. I'm just telling you. This is the God that I serve, and I believe it's the God that you serve. And so I believe tonight, I was telling Lois earlier today without telling her what I was teaching on, or that I was even teaching tonight, that the Lord, a couple weeks ago, really began to speak to me about something. And last week in my Bible study at my church, it was like it broke. It was like someone took a bottle and just like a Coke bottle, a soda bottle, and shook it up, and then someone opened it. You ever seen that that thing that they do when they take Coke and they put a Mentos in it, and it just, it was like that, because it was like all of a sudden, here's this revelation that I didn't even realize at the moment, and then all of a sudden, there it was, and God had been leading me into that place, to the place where when I began to teach about it, it just began to open up, and people were like, I never saw that, or I never understood that maybe to the fullness. And I could say I believe the scripture. I know the Bible. I've been in church since I was a kid, been preaching for over 35 years. I know the Bible. But yet, sometimes when you look at a scripture, we don't fully understand it. And as long as we're here in these earth suits, I don't believe we'll ever really fully understand. There's always something more about God. There's always something more about Scripture that should become real and come to the surface. And because I believe in a God that can show us something before we even need it. There's many times when I've woken up in the morning or in the middle of the night with a song on my heart or a scripture on my heart or something, not realizing that later that day I was going to need it. And so I believe in, that's the type of God I serve, the type of God that knows what I'm going to need that day. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and that's, if you look in Matthew chapter 6, you'll see the Lord's Prayer. I believe that my God is the God who can not only supply my daily need, but he can supply it before I ever needed it. I believe that this is the God who can lead me not into temptation. Hello? Because he knows temptation's coming our way. Bible doesn't say if you're tempted, it says when you're tempted. So God knows these things long before we ever did, and he provides something for us. And that's what we're gonna learn about tonight. I'm going to go and start in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, which is where the pastor's been teaching, using this as a base, in a sense, of the kingdom. And so I want you to see tonight something about the kingdom that I believe, at least for me, it set me free. It gave me a new revelation, and it gave me a new hope, brings a new peace into my life. And I believe it can do that for you. And we're going to go into a couple other scriptures, but Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus is talking. And while I believe that all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is inspired, it is the Word of God. Scripture very clearly says it's God-breathed. However, when I look at scriptures of it that are in red in some Bibles, that are the words that Jesus spoke, I believe what he's doing in those moments is he's taking everything from Genesis to Revelation and he's wrapping it up in a nutshell for you. And so if you look at that, you're going to see the whole Bible. Okay? So all of this is in red. All of this is Jesus himself speaking, the living Word of God speaking himself. Now grasp a hold of that for a minute. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more or more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's just take a moment right now and just ask God to bless this time together. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you, God, that you are God, and there is no God like our God. Father, tonight we submit to your will and your word. We submit to the moving of your spirit. And God, we just ask that each person tonight, God, that you will meet them where they need it. That God, you can bring revelation specific to each person and their need. Because we're all needy people. We're all addicted to something. So God, meet every need. Grant us that ministry of Holy Spirit that speaks and makes alive the Word of God into our lives. Let us see revelation. God, just turn the lamp on your Word into our hearts tonight. So God, we just thank you and we give you praise because God, you knew all of this before time and God, you ordained this time. So God, you can speak into each heart and you can do what only you can do. So God, we just thank you and we give you glory in that matchless and wonderful name of Jesus that is above every name. In his name we do pray. Amen and amen. I just wanted to start with this because I have seen so much, and especially over the last several years, people are, especially, and Christians, this is not something that's world specific. This is even in the church. People are losing their hope. People are losing their peace. People are losing that what they used to have. It seems like the world has come in and just, the Bible says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life." I'm going to preach here in a minute. "That you might have life and that more abundantly," or to the fullness, or to the whole. And so, but I've seen in church over the last several years that people seem like that the devil has come in and he's brought confusion into the church's life. So we're not sure what's going on. I even look, and it's so sad, especially even in younger people, they have no hope. They have no peace. Suicides are on the rise. Antidepressant medication is on the rise. And when I look at this scripture, and please, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not judging. I don't know anything. What I'm saying is, when I look at this scripture, I see that in a believer that has fully given themselves to the word, this should not be. Just very clearly, he said in verse 25, I say to you, do not worry about your life. But how many times do we worry? Is this bill going to... Lois, you know this from the... Is this bill going to get paid? Is my doctor visit going to be okay? Is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Are my needs going to be met? When Jesus very clearly says, yes, they will, because you are of more value than the birds and the flowers. I have times in my life where I begin to feel anxiety over things. We all get to that. But I believe that when we let that run in our lives, we are, to me, it is sin, because we are saying to God, I don't trust you. Now, all of us, when we became saved, there's a place of putting our trust in him. You know, when John 3:16 says that if we would believe on him, that belief is not a mental knowledge. That belief, that if you go back, look at the Greek word, that word really means to believe to the point of trust. And so whenever we get to the place of not trusting God for everything, to me, that becomes sin. I remember when I was a kid, when I first started driving, my dad just freaked. And you know, as parents, you sometimes know these things. But if a fire alarm, a fire whistle would go off, my dad would start to worry. And if I wasn't back, this is before cell phones, you know, if I wasn't back in time, he would go to the window and start looking. And if I wasn't back soon enough, he would get in his car and actually go looking for me. And I used to tell that, Dad, you're sinning. And you know what my dad used to tell me? When you're a parent, you'll understand. And I get that. But when we get to the place of pulling ourselves back to having full confidence in what God, who God is and what he can do, have we not just pulled back like that saving faith that we have? We forget to understand that we all have a measure of faith. You had to have a measure of faith in order to be saved. Because you had to say, God, I can't do this on my own. In order to be saved, you have to say, I can't do this on my own. God, save me. That's the place you have to be. If that's every person, when they come to Christ, has to be in that position of saying, God, I can't do this. I can't save myself. I can't earn my righteousness. I can't do it. But you did. You provided my salvation through Jesus on the cross, his atoning death. His blood-bought sacrifice bought mine and your salvation. It brings peace into our lives. It brings hope into our lives. And so whenever we say, I can't do something, or this isn't going, and I have to do something, we are pulling back that trust that we once put in Jesus. Because either he saves us completely or he doesn't save us at all. See, there's a word called, in the Greek, called diasozo. I don't know if you've ever heard this word before. It means to save to the uttermost. That means God knew my sins of past, my sins of present, my sins of future, and he made an atonement for them. His blood was powerful enough on the cross to save. It's still powerful enough today to save. And if it's powerful enough to save us from our sins, it's powerful enough to meet our every need. Period. Diasozo. The sozo is S-O-Z-O. Yeah, diasozo. It means to save to the uttermost. And so when I look at this scripture out of Matthew 6, and Jesus is clearly saying to us, don't worry about a thing, because he said the Gentiles are, let me put it another way, the sinners are the ones who worry. Not my people, not my kingdom, not my children. if his word is true that he said that my seed will never beg for bread, can God take care of you enough? I absolutely believe it. I absolutely believe it. And so you're just getting an introduction. Just reading that scripture alone, because when he says, if you seek the kingdom, all these things will be added. I'm telling you, friends, as a child of God, he has already put them into your account for you to withdraw it. I mean, can we grasp a hold of that now? What if any of you went to your bank account tomorrow and saw $1 million sitting there and just let it sit there? I wouldn't. Let me tell you, it would be out of my bank in such record time. You know, I would be at the ATM or I'd run to my credit union and I would say, I want all my money now. I mean, is that not what most people would do? Unless you're sitting on $1 million right now, which I don't think any of you are, but unless you're sitting on $1 million right now, $1 million dropped into your bank account would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Well, can I tell you, when God saved you, he dropped everything of his nature into your account. I'm going to preach in a minute. I tell my church, that was good preaching, preacher. You know, because this is stuff that changes people's lives. Because every morning we get up, we have challenges we have to face. We have something that's going on in our life that's not easy. Life is difficult. It really is. Whether it's something from your past or something you're doing today, life is difficult, and we wake up every morning with something to challenge us. And sometimes people lose sleep over it. So that it's not when they wake up in the morning, it's when they wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning. Or midnight. Yes, Scott, you're right. Or midnight. You know, so this scripture, just alone, I could just stay here, but I'm not going to stay here. But this scripture, just this passage of scripture in Matthew 6, just to me frees me up. It lets me know that God's got it. And God is not in heaven biting his nails worried about something that is going on here on earth. God isn't wringing his hands. God is not sitting on the throne saying, I hope this works out for him. It's not God. Or if he was, he wouldn't deserve to be God. God is in heaven right now. And he's got everything under control. Nothing that I see on the news. Someone asked me a few months ago after October 7th when the Hamas attacked Israel. They asked me, well, what do you think about it? I said, what do you mean, what do I think about it? God's got it under control. I mean, I don't want to see these things happen. I never want to see anybody hurt on either side or on any conflict or anything like that. But honestly, this is falling into God's plan. And God knew it. It is God's business. Let God take care of it. You know, when you wake up in the morning and those things hit you first thing in the morning, it's God's business. Let him do it. Let him take care of it. So, like I said, this and what I'm going to share here in a minute is just really becoming even more real. And that's saying something for a person who has been preaching the gospel for this long and has been in church and heard the word. I'm thankful for my godly heritage. I absolutely am. I'm thankful for a mom and dad that loved God. I'm thankful for a dad who preached the word. I'm thankful for a mom. My mom and I never, I'll share this, my mom and I didn't have a good relationship when I was growing up. I actually got to the point in my middle adult life, told my mother, and this was from the heart, I hate you. I literally told her that, and I believed it. I mean, it was there. God did something in my heart, and I turned around an hour later and walked to her and I said, listen, I don't care if you ever love me. I don't care if we never ever get along, but I choose at this moment to love you, regardless of whether or not it ever comes back to me. I choose to love you. From that moment on, my mom and my relationship has blossomed, and now she calls me asking, what should I do? I'm telling you, it's a transformation process when you choose these things instead of allowing the devil to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. It's transformative. It will take you from a place of you know, there's people that have hurt me in my life. There's people that have hurt you. I'm absolutely sure of that. But can I tell you, friends, when you begin to say, I forgive, I choose to love, it will change something in you. Even if it never changes them, it will change you. So I believe in the power of God to change people's lives. And I've been preaching for so long, and I've been in the Word for long. I've been a student of the Word since I was a kid. I was the kid who walked into church and always carried my dad's Bible. I loved carrying the Word of God. And my dad would joke with me and say, now be careful with that. It's a sword. Don't let it cut you. Because it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, according to Scripture. I remember after church, as a little person, I remember going up to my preacher and saying, can I carry your Bible out to your car for you? There was such a desire and a hunger for the Word, and I wanted to be around people who were of the Word. And it was just, I was drawn to that. And yet, with all the godly heritage, I was telling you about my mom. My mom loves the Word. She just finished reading the Bible through completely 41 times. And that's not saying she's better. If you haven't, but that's her dedication to know. And she'll tell me, I don't understand a thing I'm reading. But I said, Mom, keep reading. Keep reading. Because that's the job of Holy Spirit, is to come in and remind you what Jesus said. And when you need it, it's in there. And it will come out. See, that's the heritage that I have. But yet, with all of that, and I've been around ministers, and I've been around some amazing people of God, including Pastor Adam. I've been around some great people. But can I tell you, until the Word of God becomes real and alive to you, it's just someone else's walk. It's someone else's opinion. It's someone else's revelation. You need to have this revelation of the Word of God for yourself. And it may not be this necessarily, but I promise you, you get into the Word and you're going to see revelation that is going to jump out at you. Because that's who and what God is. And you can read the same scripture 100 times, and on that 100th time, you're going to see something you never saw before. You know, it's like the old man Naaman in the Bible, who the prophet told him, go dip in the Jordan River to cure yourself of leprosy. Dip yourself 7 times in a muddy old river. Doesn't make sense to me, but the prophet said it, and he was convinced to do it. And the first time, the second time, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, he went down, he was still a leper. But praise God, when he jumped out of that the 7th time, he was a clean man. You may look at a scripture bunches of times and not understand it. Just keep reading the Word. Just keep digging into the Word, because I promise you, you're going to see something, and it's going to jump out to you, and it's going to become revelation, and it's going to make you whole. That's what the Word of God does. See, I believe in a God who brings wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes I don't see it in my body, but you know what? I believe in a God who can. You know? If you know me, you know I deal with kidney stones a lot. Can I tell you that God still moves stones? He still moves them. I've had times when I've passed kidney stones that the doctor said I would never be able to pass. And I called my doctor up and said, guess what? Just passed it, no pain. And my one doctor one time told me, love this, he said. He paused and he said, you're blessed. I said, I know I am. And it doesn't always work out that way, but can I tell you, I believe that God can and will, because by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was and I am healed. It's what I call the prophetic perfect. God speaking something as if it's already been accomplished. I'm telling you, friends. When you look at this scripture about not worrying, can I tell you that it is as if God has spoken it as it's already accomplished in your life. You just have to receive it, walk in it, believe it, speak it. Let it run through your veins. Well, glory to God. I promised Pastor I wouldn't keep you past 9. I seldom, honestly, I have some notes this evening. I seldom, when I preach, I don't use notes. That's just me. That's how God speaks to me. But when I do, when I go up to preach sometimes and I'll have a page of notes, I'm like, just here to tell you, if you put the roast in, it's going to burn today. You know? But I just believe the Word of God is so powerful, it can change your life, and I believe it will. If you would, this evening, let's go to 2 Corinthians. And I want to share this, and then if you have any questions, I am going to open it up if you have any questions. But if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Say amen when you get there. I'll wait for you because I believe that God. I believe that the Word of God is very important, and I'm going to make sure all of us are on the same page. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. You got it? Everybody ready? Well, I'll wait for you, brother, because I believe that the Word of God is important. Not only, can I tell you, when you see it, you'll remember it, but when you speak it, you remember it even more. And when you write it down, you remember it even more. I believe in the power of the Word, but we are sometimes limited in, even if we just see it, we receive a portion. But when you begin to speak it, you're going to get a bigger portion. And when you write it down, you're going to get a bigger portion. So I want to tell you, go home tonight, write this down for yourself. Even if you just throw it away after that. But when you write it down, it will help you retain it better. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Are we ready? Okay. This is what Paul says to the church in Corinth. He said, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and," everybody say "and," "and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." I was reading this scripture, and actually I was reading another scripture for Bible study from out of, we're in Galatians right now, and I connected these two together. But when I read this, something jumped out at me. It says, "He who supplies seed to the sower." Now, who is the one who's supplying the seed in this scripture? God is, because God supplies the seed, listen to this, before it's even sown. We aren't the supplier of the seed. Your job, the government, other people, even yourself are not responsible for supplying the seed. God is. Now, this sets me free. Because sometimes we think, and I believe in doing things. But when I understand this, according to what it's saying here, that it isn't even up to me. God puts the seed in my hand before I need to bake the bread. He's putting the seed in my hand. Before I need to put it into the ground, he's the one who's saying, "I've got seed here. Come take it." I don't believe any believer has no seed. Every believer has some type of seed. This was so funny to me. It happened when I was in my teens. A friend of mine, they were passing the offering plate, and they had no money on them. But you know what they did? They put a stick of gum into the offering plate. Now, that may seem weird to you, but God blessed them with that pack of gum, and he provided them with seed. And when they walked out of church, someone else handed them another pack that didn't know any of the story. Now, I'm not saying God wants to just give you a pack of gum. I'm saying God wants to, if you will just take it, his hand is out. He's got seed that he is supplying. There is not a one of us as believers that has no seed. Because if you look at, I'm not going to read this all, but if you look at Luke 17:6, the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, 'Be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the seed,' and it should obey you." I'm telling you, friends, it's not the size of your seed. It's the obedience that's connected with the seed. I'm telling you, friends, this is just, because you know what? The devil likes to play tricks on our mind. Does he not? He loves to come in and tell you a lie. And he's very good at it because he's the father of lies. But when he comes in and tells you a lie, you need to take whatever you're hearing. Because some people say to me, ask me all the time, "How do I know the voice of God?" If it doesn't line up with Scripture, throw it out. If you can't take it back to Scripture and say, yes, this agrees with the overall counsel of the Word of God, get rid of it because it's from the devil and it's designed to steal something out of your life. It's designed to take your peace and your health and your life from you. So you don't live an abundant life, so we live in that lack because the devil's there always stealing from us. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like the devil is just, every time something comes to your hand, whether whatever, a good report, a doctor's report, or money, or whatever, you feel like it's no sooner in your hand and it's gone? Sometimes our paychecks and our money's like that. As soon as we get it, it's out on bills or whatever. And I'm not going to tell you that you're always going to be. I'm not a blab it and grab it preacher, and I'm not saying things like that. But I am saying if God's word is true according to Matthew chapter 6, He's got it taken care of. And when I look at this, it is God who is supplying the seed to the sower. So before you even have a need, God said, "Here, I'm providing for you." See, because He already knows what tomorrow brings. Did He not say in Matthew chapter 6 that tomorrow is sufficient for its own problems? In other words, just wait tomorrow. You got a whole new set of them. So why worry? I heard this, Dr. David Jeremiah said, why worry about things twice? Worry about them now and worry about them tomorrow. What's the point when we're not called to worry at all? But God is literally is the one who provides the seed. And I'm just, this set me free to the point where when I look at things coming up and I'm thinking, God, how am I going to do this? Jesus, now get this. Jesus in the New Testament, taxes were due. Now, we all hate tax time. Hallelujah. They needed money to pay the temple tax. So what did Jesus tell them to do? Go fishing. Now, surely that doesn't, a fish isn't going to change my life. Going fishing isn't going to pay my taxes. But when they opened up the fish, there was a coin in there that was enough to pay their taxes. Oh, glory to God. I don't believe that fish just, God could have just put that coin in the fish. But that fish could have eaten it 3 days ago. You see, David, when he was going, didn't know he was going into battle, but stopped by a little brook and picked up 5 smooth stones because he didn't even know at the time that the task ahead was for him to defeat Goliath. But those stones didn't just happen to appear there. They had to come down the river from the mountain. And every time they tumbled, every time they went through that water, they got smoother and smoother and smoother. You see, God prepared the stones for David long before Goliath was even born. See, this is the seed supplier, the one who supplied the stones before Goliath made the challenge. This is the one who supplied the coin and the fish before they knew that they had taxes to pay. See, this frees me to know that the seed is from God and He's already got it in route to me. I hope you just take that and you can run with that nugget. The next time, tomorrow or whenever, that you see a difficult task ahead of you, I'll tell you this story that just blows my mind. But when I think of God, it's like, oh, that's just normal for God. Years ago, I was working at a job. I was working at a radio station. And there was a little ice cream shop in the town. And after our shift, some of us had went to this ice cream. And we're sitting there enjoying ice cream on a hot day. This guy comes down the road, pulls into the parking lot at the ice cream shop. Flat tire. So I went over to him, and a couple of us went over, and we're like, okay, we'll help you change your tire. And he's like, but you don't understand. That was my spare tire. I just had a flat up the road, put the spare tire on, came down a few miles, and my spare went flat. Yeah, not a good scenario. This boy, you could see he was distraught. And I said, don't worry about it. Put the tire in my car. We'll go down to the tire shop and put a new tire on. So that's what we did. Told him about Jesus, showed him the love of Jesus, went on his way. 2 weeks later, I am in the nation of Bulgaria with some gypsies. I was over there with a group of people. We were ministering to gypsies. We had the night off, so our interpreter and his friend said, "Hey, you want to go to another church tonight?" Well, I wasn't stupid. Yeah, let's go. So here we are in the middle of nowhere in a country that where I know nobody over there. I'm the oddball. Where in that culture, at least then, it's getting a little better, but gypsies were hated. Like even I went into churches where when you go in, the Bulgarians sit here and the gypsies sit up in the balcony. That's how hated they were. Even in church, boy, God just, anyway, that's a whole other story. I said, "Sure, let's go." We went to church, had a good time. On our way back, it's about midnight. We have a flat tire. Now, you can kind of see where this is going. So we get out, we change the tire, put the spare on. A couple miles down the road, our spare goes flat. Now, it's dark. It's after midnight. And I don't know anybody but these two guys, and I really didn't know them that well. And I'm getting a little frustrated and worried, you know, like we all do in certain times. I'm just starting to get into almost to that panic mode. You know, almost, oh God, what am I going to do? We're in the middle of nowhere. Well, I don't know the land, so I don't know where anybody was and where the next village was or anything like that. And I remember clearly God speaking to me, and he said, "You've already sown into this." It was the exact same thing happened to that boy 2 weeks earlier. And so I'm like, "Yeah, okay, God corrected me." You know, he spanked me. It's okay. And I looked at the guys and I said, "I'm not worried about a thing. God's already got this taken care of because it's already been, the seed has already been sown for this thing." One guy said, "Well, I know a family that lives just up the road here." So we managed, even on a flat tire, we managed to get to the next little village. We went to the guy's house. The guy said, "You know what? It's late. Let's not worry about it." They put us up for the night. Very hospitable people. The next morning we get up and, you know, I get up early in the mornings, but I'm not functional, okay? I can be awake and not functional. You know, I can say hi, but that's about it. That's all you really want to hear from me at that point. We got up that morning very early, and when we got up, here that man had already taken everything in, put a brand new tire on it, brought it back by the time we even got up. See, I'm telling you, friends, God's got it covered. He's got things already taken care of. Why are we worrying? See, I was getting to that point of worrying. And God's like, "Why are you worrying? The seed has already been sown in for this." You know, when I look at finances for the church or for my life or for your life, can I tell you, God's already got it covered? The seed has already been sown for your blessing. We just have to receive it. I could have panicked. I could have, "Oh, God, what am I going to do?" God already knew what he was going to do. So why am I worried? You know? And so this revelation to me has just grown that it is God who supplies the seed to the sower. God's already got it there. And get this. And he says, "And bread for food, the one who supplies these things, may he supply..." Get this, "and multiply the seed you have sown." And, I like that "and" word, that's a conjunction. You know, if you grew up in my era, you remember Schoolhouse Rock? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? You know, you get that. And it's to bring two things together. And he said, not only will he supply the seed and the bread, but he will multiply the seed that you have sown. I look at that, and that tells me something. I have a responsibility in this. If I just sit back and worry and grumble and complain and fret and when I begin to do that, you know what happens? I have just robbed myself of the blessing. Because I have now taken the seed that God has provided out of my hand and said, it's not good enough. But he said, "I will not only supply, but I will multiply the seed when you sow it." And that could be, you know, there's a lot of charlatans out there, and they'll always talk, they'll always try to get your money. There's a lot of TV preachers out, and they'll tell you, if you send me $1,000, God will bless you. Can I tell you, God's already blessed me. Now, I believe that when God, if God speaks it to you, you do it out of obedience. But I'm telling you, my normal blessing is not dependent on whether or not I give some TV preacher money. It's not. Why? Because my blessing is not contingent on people, other people, myself. My blessing is determined by the seed that God has already sown in my hand. Now, the seed, the Greek word for that says that it means the grain or kernel which contains within itself the germ of future plants. Now, look at that. Not only is God supplying your today's need, as according to the Lord's model prayer, give us this day our daily bread, but he's saying, I am going to supply a seed to you that is good today and is good tomorrow and the next day. You see, in the Old Testament, because of their disobedience, when the children of Israel walked through the desert, God would supply them manna for that day only, except for the day before, the day preceding into Sabbath. And then they could get 2 days' worth. But when they tried to store up and hoard up more, it went bad on them. Well, can I tell you? New Testament. See, I believe the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. Can I tell you, God not only says, I'm going to supply today's needs, but I've got tomorrow taken care of too. Why? Because it's God who is supplying the seed which contains within itself the germ of future plants. Are you getting this? It's God who supplies the seed, but not just the seed for today, but for the future. I don't know if you get this or not. Most of you have been in church long enough, but God takes care of my tomorrow, and you can never outgive God. Never. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm telling you, a hug or a smile can go a long way. You know, your service to the Lord in many areas, that goes a long way. You know, we think, you know, I appreciate you guys playing and singing, brother and sister. I appreciate that. But can I tell you, what you sow today is good for tomorrow too. When we were singing the song tonight, do you see that God was already implanting in you something that you're going to need in the future? You may wake up tomorrow and realize that you needed that today. See, that's the big God that we serve. The seed is the germ which contains in itself the germ of future plants. The sower, get this, is the one who is responsible for sowing what was placed in their hand. You see, God doesn't just willy-nilly give out stuff. He does sometimes, but you know what? He intends for us to use that seed that was sown into our life that he gave so faithfully. He intends for us to use it. It's not just for, see, I know a minister that has a Corvette, a Harley, a Hummer, and a helicopter. Praise God for blessing. I don't need a helicopter. That would make me sick. I don't need a Corvette. When the speed limit at the most around here is 70 miles an hour, what do I need a car that goes 150 or whatever? I'm thankful for my Subaru that gets me from point A to point B. Why? Because I know it was God who provided it, and it's God who continues to bless it. Even if my muffler did fall down yesterday. Doesn't matter. See, I'm not worried about those things. I just went through an ordeal over the last 3 weeks. God, thankfully, God provided the one who knew the answer to the problem. After 3 weeks of trying to take care of it, finally, one who knew the problem said, let's do this. See, and he was already in my life. He was a good friend of mine. He's actually a deacon in my church. All I had to do was ask. You see, But I am responsible. When God puts these things in my life, I'm responsible for saying, okay, God, I see it. Let's plan it. Let's put it into use. I'm not going to hoard it back to myself and say, but what if? That gets a lot of Christians caught up. And I'm not saying you shouldn't plan ahead, shouldn't be prepared in some things. But I'm telling you, friends, most of what we have is not meant to hold on to. It's meant for us to be able to sow into the ground so that God can use it. Because when he does, when you are obedient in that, can I tell you, he's going to fill your hand again. He's going to take care of you. Yeah, like that friend of mine with the gum. They didn't miss out on gum. I think it was a five-pack. They sold one. They got another five-pack back. So they ended up with nine. See, this is the... I'm going to do it because I can. This is the point of tithing. This is the point of coming to church on Sunday. Because it's the first fruit. It's the first day of the week. Saturday is not the first day of the week. Sunday is. That's why the New Testament church established Sunday worship. That's why they called it the Lord's Day. You see? Because when God gives you something, he wants the first fruits in your life. I've always been a late nighter. And I had a pastor friend, I guess, who would always get on me because I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning praying and reading. I said, well, I was up at 3 o'clock doing that. Where were you? But he would get on me because I wouldn't get up at those days. I do now, but I wouldn't get up till 9 or 10 o'clock. Oh, to have those days again. I would love to sleep until 9 o'clock someday. But he would get on me, and I'm like, and his motive was different, but when I understood the opportunity of blessing God at the beginning of your day, it will bless the rest of your day. I believe in the power of sowing my tithe because I know when I sow 10%, God's going to take care of the 90. Because the Bible says that the devil, or the enemy, is a snare and a fowler, and he comes in and he tries to steal your seed. Remember I said earlier, how many of you feel like sometimes something is in your hand, a gift, a seed, whatever it is, whatever mode it is, and you feel like it's no sooner in your hand and it's gone? That's the devil. That's what he does. But I believe that God can take your 10%, whether it be your time. Hello. Going to church is not putting in time, okay? But if we truly even tithe our time, the world would be a different place. If the church would grab a hold of that, that if we would just sow 10% of our time, God could bless the rest of our time. I found that when I give God, when I tithe my time, it seems like things go smoother and I have more time on my hands. And I end up sitting at home with my puppy because I have the extra time. You see? Why? Because I believe that that seed that was sown, I honored it and sowed it back so that God can not only supply what I have sown, supply what I need, but he can also, look at this, increase the fruits of your righteousness, according to verse 10. Now, none of us are saved by our own righteousness. Can we agree on that? It's the only by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that we are made righteous. It's the only way it happens, because the Bible says he puts robes of righteousness onto us. God. However, I am not saved by my works, but my works, the Bible says, when I do these things, when the fruits of my righteousness, in other words, my works are increased to God's glory, the Bible says that the world will see my good works, your good works, and glorify our Father in heaven. None of us, if at a job or whatever, none of us would say, I don't want a pay raise. It'd be stupid to say that. Every one of us wants a pay raise. But can I tell you, God wants to give us a raise. But it can't happen until we sow into the kingdom in however manner, please. However, we sow into the kingdom so that he can increase, according to 2 Corinthians 9:10, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Well, glory to God. When I see this, over the last couple weeks, when God has just really begun putting this into me and opening it up, opening the package, it has really just, it has been a blessing to me. It has opened my eyes, and it has changed the way I do things. If you knew me, you would wonder how I can do things. I'm not rich by no means, but can I tell you, it's God who supplies the seed that enables me to do something. None of us are sitting on $1 million in the bank, like I said earlier, but can I tell you, God's got it all under control, and he wants to bless you. He wants to increase the fruits, not just fruit, fruits, plural. I don't want to stick with just, don't give me just an apple, give me a fruit basket. You know, God's not just out here handing out bananas. Well, talk to me about bananas, that's just from God is not just sitting out here handing out bananas to everybody, but God's got a fruit basket for you that's full of the bananas and the apples and the grapes and whatever oranges and whatever other, you know. God's ready to hand out fruit baskets. Think about that. Why? It all starts with the fact that he supplied seed to the sower. That's where it all started. And then my responsibility is just sow. Been times when I've sown things and before I actually put them in or before I actually did the act of service, I'm thinking, but God, I don't have time or I need this for something else. And please, I'm not telling you to be irresponsible, but I am telling you, if God speaks it, trust him, because God isn't going to have you do that and then you go around saying, what am I going to eat? God's got it taken care of. So I want you to see that tonight. I'm just going to go to another scripture, but yeah, let me just do this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. I'll just read this for you. It says, and I'm going to close on this maybe. I'll close for questioning. I'll allow you to ask some questions if you have any. But Hebrews 11, 11 says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Physically, Sarah was unable to have children. Now look at this. Who provided the seed but God himself? So that when she had Isaac, she was past the age. Now, we tell that as a story to tell God can do anything. But we have to understand that a woman at her age wasn't able. She had no seed. But God did. God was able to make a frail old body make it. And through that, because God promised to Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Is that not what he said? How can he do that if there's no seed? So he provides the seed. I want you to be free, and I want you to see this and to know this, that even though Sarah was barren, God gave the seed, because God was faithful. God was the one who made the promise to Abraham, was he not? So God is responsible for making it happen. Whatever, when you see something in the Word and you see where God's made a promise, God is responsible for making that happen. Not you. If you just be faithful and follow him and be obedient to him, it's God who will take care of those things, because God promised it. He's responsible for the seed to make it happen. What, Lois? You're stuttering. What, Lois? Yes. Yes. No, she did. Yes. Do we see that even in the birth of Jesus, it was God who provided the seed for our Savior? Because the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, overshadowed her, overshadowed Mary. And the angel said, and what is to be born in you is the Son of God. Oh, friends, you see, countless times throughout Scripture. In fact, if you look up the word seed, you're going to find in the Bible almost 300 scriptures talking about it. I encourage you to do a word search on it. Almost 300 times the word mentions seed. Some good, some bad, but I encourage you to do a word study on it, because I think you're going to see in it where God is the one who's providing the seed. God is the one responsible for the promise that he made to you. And if Jesus made that promise in Matthew 6 not to worry, he's responsible for it, so that you don't worry. Don't start worrying and take that seed out of your hand. Not when God was faithful to put it.
Thank you for joining us today. Remember, you can find all of our podcasts at freshfirechurch.net or on any platform such as Pandora, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, and many more. Look us up, freshfirechurch.net. Thank you so much.